Good morning. It's a delight to be here again this Sabbath morning. This last week, we celebrated a national holiday. We've done this for many, many years. And the holiday is over with, but I wasn't here last Sabbath to preach it, so I'm going to preach it this week. Is that all right with you? Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving for everyone. It's a thought I want us to contemplate and to think about. I was in the spring living in Duluth, Minnesota when I was 10 and 11 years old. In other words, I was between those two ages. And God gave me the inspiration to ask my father if I could be baptized. And he says, "Of course, Art, you can be baptized." And so, in a short period of time, Elder Hutches baptized me. I gave my heart to Christ. And I'm very delighted that I did. And he changed my life. And all through these years, I have felt the closeness of God. And I thank him for this gift of eternal life that he has given to me. I think of Charles Wesley. When he gave his life to Jesus Christ, he told a Moravian friend, he said, "I think I should keep this all to myself, shouldn't I?" And his Moravian friend said, "Listen, if you have 1,000 tongues, you ought to tell everybody about it." And so Charles Wesley went home and he composed the song, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. To burden hurting souls crushed under the weight of our own wickedness, God gives us encouragement." And this is what he says in Isaiah 43, verse 25. He says, "I, even I, he am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember your sins no more." I like that. He tells us in another place, he says, "I'll put your sins into the deepest part of the ocean." Another place, he says, "I'll blot them out as a thick cloud." He says, "I don't want to see them." If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, the Bible is full of gratitude and encourages us to be grateful. Our forefathers, the Pilgrims, as we know them, came to our land 386 years ago. You know, that's a long time, isn't it? As we think about it. And as they came to our land, they didn't have much to eat, I understand, according to our history, the history of them. In fact, we are told that during the first long winter, they had 7 times more graves than houses that they built. The seed they imported from England failed to grow. And the ship, which was to bring them more food and sustenance, brought 35 more souls, people, but no food. They caught the fish, hunted wildflower and venison. They had very little English meal and some Indian corn. Yet William Brewster rising from a scanty Plymouth dinner of clams and water, gave thanks to God for the abundance of the sea and for the treasures hidden in the sand. According to today's standards, they had little, but they were filled with gratitude. They possessed gratitude even for the little that they had. Gratitude is one of the greatest Christian graces. Ingratitude is the most vicious sins, if you might think about it in that respect. Thankfulness is the mark of culture and refinement and of really Christianity in reality. Our English word thank comes from the root word of think. And if you would put those two words together, we can be thankful that we can think and be thankful for all that we have. Thanksgiving, is it for everyone? As we think about it, as we sat around our Thanksgiving table this last Thursday, what were we thinking about? What kind of a grace did we pray? By the way, maybe not all had the privilege of a Thanksgiving dinner this week. I don't know. But anyway, is Thanksgiving for everybody? If it is, the person who has known sickness, hospitalization, surgery this past year, and is now restored to fullest health, he can be thankful, can't he? What about the person who is promoted in his job, receives more salary? He can be thankful as well, can't he? What about the family circles that have been reunited? Sickness filling the chairs that were empty before, and so forth. Maybe sons and daughters that have gone come back home. We can be grateful for that, can't we? Now, in spite of the world's problems, especially in the Middle East that we have today, we can be thankful that we don't have an all-out war, don't we? A nuclear war, I'm talking about. Now, are not all these reasons for us to be thankful and feel the need of a Thanksgiving Day? And isn't it the reason that men and women across America bow their heads with a loaded Thanksgiving table and offer their grace? Ah, Pastor, you say, well, this is fine. But what about those who really don't know the meaning of Thanksgiving? Only those who are successful, only those who have been victorious over their sickness and war and so forth. But what about the families who have not been reunited this Thanksgiving Day? They know instead loneliness of an empty chair that never was filled or never would be filled again. Are these exempt from the joys of a Thanksgiving Day? What about, or let me ask it in this respect, could we all suddenly become eligible for Thanksgiving by saying, well, it could be worse? Listen, who of us would say to one suffering from malignancy that there was no cure, cheer up, it could be worse? Or to the grieving mother or wife whose aching heart would never be healed again fully healed, cheer up. It could be worse. Or to the man who has lost all that he had as far as his work is concerned. He was laid off. Cheer up. It could be worse. Now, even if we could, in our hearts, know the possibilities of things that could be worse, doesn't really make me or anybody else more thankful just because we have a Thanksgiving Day. I'm afraid too many of us consider Thanksgiving Day to be a little more than a day off work. For if Thanksgiving Day amounts to being grateful for the good things that we have received, then we are thankful that we have received much more while others have not received much more. If this is our motive, and we call ourselves Christians, and therefore consider the peoples of the entire world our brothers and sisters, shouldn't we feel a certain obligation to others that don't even have as much as an inside toilet to use, or a tin can for a dish? And I understand this, at the majority of our world have just a tin can that they call for their dish. Wow, you say. You know, Thanksgiving Day just has to have a purpose and a meaning that amounts to more than being grateful for our blessings. For if it were only this, then Thanksgiving would not be fair. Really. I think of a story that I read, and I understand it's made into a film. And that's Thomas Geddes made the book, or I should say wrote the book, The Birdmen of Alcatraz. It's a story of Robert Stroud, a man who spent most of his 70 years behind iron bars and in solitary confinement. For the first 20 years of his imprisonment, Robert Stroud became increasingly withdrawn, bitter, and harder to handle. In prison parlance, he was a maximum security risk. But a sparrow fell out of his nest during a storm, changed all that. Stroud found him on the playfield and was about ready to stamp the life out of him, the bird, when all of a sudden he stooped down and lifted it up. It's quivering in his hands. He took it into his room, and there he nursed it back to health. In fact, as the story goes, Robert Stroud became, if he couldn't find anything that, I mean, if something was not found that was wrong with the bird, he would try to find it, and he would find a cure for it. In fact, other prisoners began to send him their birds that they had in case they were ill. And so Robert Stroud became an authority on birds. All it took was gratitude. Life, as it quivered in his hands, he felt sorry for it and began to nurse it back to health. And he was grateful to be able to do this. thankful that he could. And it really changed his life. Another thing about Strauss' life, and this came out in the story as well, when he found this bird and he brought it back to his cell or room, I always call them rooms instead of cells, he didn't have a place to put it, a cage. But the guard that was outside of his cell watching him had an orange crate that he was sitting on. And so he asked this guard for the orange crate. And the guard laughed at him and he says, "Why should I give you this orange crate? For the last 20 years I've tried to make communication with you and you would never talk to me at all." And then the guard changed his mind and he handed him the orange crate. And for the first time the guard could ever remember, Robert Stroud said, "Thank you," showing gratefulness. Now, I had a prison minister when I was in Stockton, California, pastoring there. Every Friday night I went there. There was 1,500 prisoners, but we would have from 60 to 70 to 80 come together every Friday night for 2 hours. And one of the first things I was looking for in all of these men was thank you. Finding out when they began to grow spiritually. I brought a number of them to Jesus Christ. And I began to share with them what Jesus was all about. In a certain period of my ministry there, I would tell them parables every Friday night. A different parable from the scriptures. We would gather in circles. You know, 80 in a circle is quite a large group. And we would pray. We would also repeat the Lord's Prayer. And every Friday night, we would read a different proverb. You know, there are 31 proverbs. If this is the 25th today or the 26th, we'd read the 26th proverb. And you can do that. And this is how I shared my ministry with them. And they begin to say, "Pastor, thank you. This is meaning so much to us or to me. I enjoyed it because they showed their gratefulness. And I, in turn, was very grateful for the opportunity to be able to do this." Thanksgiving. Is it for everyone? You know, when it comes to the place that we're able to say thank you and mean it, then we're able to understand ourselves that we are creatures, not creators. You see? We are givers as well as receivers. Both ways. It helps us to realize less dependence on ourselves and more dependent upon God. Ecclesiastes mentions this in the seventh chapter, verse 14, which says this: "In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find nothing that will happen after him." I think of Moses as well in Deuteronomy, just before he was sent up to the mountain, you know, to have God show him what the children of Israel was, where they were going to go and so forth. He wrote the book of Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy 8, verse 11 and onward, it says this: Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping the commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful homes and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents, scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought you water out of a rock of flint, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you and do you good to the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you will by any means forget the Lord your God, follow other gods, serve him and worship them, I testify against you this day that you will surely perish. He was challenging, Moses was challenging the children of Israel to remember where they came from, to remember the God who brought them out of the land of Egypt, to remember the God who guided them, gave them water, gave them food, gave them instruction of how to live, and understand during all of those years in the wilderness, none of them got sick. Their shoes did not wear out. And probably their garments didn't wear out either. God guided them. And I think of how God has guided the Seventh-day Adventist Church as well, all through these years. We have a special church, you know. God created this church for a special purpose. So that if we have 1,000 tongues, we can tell everybody what God has done for us. And you know, he's coming back one of these days. Very soon. I believe it. And you know, he changes our hearts as well. When we surrender our lives to him fully and completely, he changes us, just like the Bible tells us. He gives a vivacious life in which to live. Yes, he allows hurts and trials once in a while, but that's for our good as well. Be thankful in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So it's possible for all of us to celebrate Thanksgiving Day as long as we remember that we're creatures. We're not creators. And to remember the God who guided us through all of our life, who created us in the beginning. He guided us in our youth until we are where we are today. He has blessed us with the prosperity of our church, our homes as well, and with all these experiences. I think of the experience that Jesus had while he was upon this earth with the 10 lepers. They came to him and Jesus healed them all. How many of them came and back to him and said, thank you? Only Was Jesus hurt as a result of this? Sometimes we think he was hurt, but in reality, Jesus understood their lives. But it was only hurt in the respect that they were hurt, that they didn't realize where they came from, you see. So let's consider ourselves and our personal experience. How many things have we received which we have not bargained for, or for which we cannot pay? They are part of what the scriptures call grace. Blessings that we have received, but that we neither earn nor deserve. This is why we need thanksgiving. It not only affords us the time to give thanks for all that we have, but it also gives us the perspective of who we are, to whom we belong, and upon whom we depend. This makes us all eligible to have thanksgiving. Let's pray. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for the many wonderful blessings, for the blessings that we receive from thy holy word, which is truth and light to our lives. We believe it's all your word. And as we live this word from day to day, that we might live it with thanksgiving that we have this word, and that you are our God, you are our creator, as well as our redeemer. Bless each heart that's here this Sabbath morning. Grant thy warm presence to be beside each one of us. Help us to know that you care. And thank you so much for who you are and for blessing each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.